I invite you to turn there in your copies of God's Word to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, this is a song of David, a song of ascents of David, God's holy word. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. Please pray with me and ask that God would bless our time meditating on these words. Father, we thank you for the beauty of these words. We thank you of your sovereign decree to raise up a man such as David and to give him the gift of the Spirit, and that he would be carried along by the power of the Spirit to write down your word for us. We thank you for the beauty of this psalm and how it reminds us of the good gifts of what it means to dwell in your house. It also convicts us of our need to love one another, to dwell in unity with one another, to seek the blessings that you have promised. We pray that you'd bless our time meditating on your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We have here a psalm about unity. I feel the need for a psalm about unity. As we look around, we see so much division everywhere. We see it in our own homes, in our own families, the tendency to divide, to be frustrated with one another, to seek after our own desires and wants. But we see it everywhere. We see it in our cities and in our country, in our nation. We see it in our churches, our denominations. There's division everywhere. We live in a polarized time, and maybe it's not the case, but it feels like it's worse than ever. It feels like we've grown comfortable in drawing strong lines in the sand and being stubborn in our opinions and causing it to divide where it should not divide. We've lost our ability to communicate well with others, to be gracious in our speech, to hear perspectives that are different from our own, and to not ruffle our feathers at that, to not get angry or scared. We've lost our ability to be forbearing, to bear with one another in their burdens, to be recognizing that not everyone is where we are and we are not where everyone else is, and there's different perspectives and we don't need to get angry. So often the things that divide us are because we're not seeking the right goals. We're not pursuing the right things. We get consumed with our own ideas of how things need to be. And that blinds us from the proper goal, most simply and most broadly, of glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. You can see it in your families. You can see it in the little tiffs that you have in your marriage, where you get worked up about things not happening how you want them to happen, and it causes division, and you have to recognize and repent. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have insisted on it being just that way, or I should have been more patient. And the same is true more broadly. All of our conflict is due to us letting our own desires for things get in the way. Sin divides. But we see here the blessing that it is when we do dwell in unity, and God has given us that blessing. We see the perspective of the psalmist here. He's saying, look, behold, how good it is when we dwell in unity. So we see here both a conviction for us to pursue these things, for us to seek unity in our families, in our friendships, in our church, and even more broadly, but we also ought to be praising God for the unity that we do witness. Behold how good it is. If you think that we have it bad, if we think that there's just too much against us, too much division, consider David's life. He didn't have much unity, did he, in his life? The king that he sought to submit to wanted to kill him. And even when he became king, he was constantly at war. We read in 2 Samuel 12:10. This is said of David, the sword which would never depart from his house. He was a man of war, and yet he sits here and he recognizes that it's so good, it's so precious when brothers are able to dwell in unity. How do we get this unity? How do we appreciate it? How do we have that? How do we dwell as one with one another? We are to long for it as David longed for it. When we can have this unity in our friendships and our families and even in our nation, when we seek after God and when we live like those who have been united to Christ, we are to dwell in unity. This is to be our posture. This is to be our desire. Don't be happy about the divisions we experience. Sometimes we get comfortable and we actually enjoy the drama of division. That is not to be the character of the church. We must seek unity. And how do we get it? Derek Kidner makes this beautiful connection, and I read it many years ago and I won't forget it. He recognizes that the symbolism of this psalm is all about descending. And you can see it here in verse 2, descending down his beard. And again in verse 2, descending down his garments. And in verse 3, descending down the mountains of Zion. And that imagery of the blessing descending down, coming down upon God's people, it reminds us that this unity is from above. The unity that we have as the church is from above. How do we get unity? How do we grow in our union to one another? It's a gift. It's given to us. The unity is a gift. It's not from us. It's not something that we can manufacture or conjure up. It's not something that we can create by our own devices. We see that so often. The politics idea of unity is just getting everyone to agree to his opinion by making the right deals. That's not the unity that we're thinking of. Unity is a gift, and it's a spiritual gift. It's a supernatural gift. We see that with the imagery of Aaron's beard, the oil running down Aaron, this priest, in these priestly garments, and the oil that anoints him as priest. That oil is imagery for the Holy Spirit, the Spirit-empowered work that Aaron had. That's the imagery here. The unity where we dwell with one another is like oil that runs down Aaron's beard. It's like the Spirit of God. How can we have unity? It's by what's given to us, and what's given to us is the Spirit Himself. By the power of the Spirit, everyone who professes Christ, we are united to the Son of God. We are united to the older brother. How good it is that we, who were once sinners, now dwell in unity with our older brother, Christ. And it's by that union that we have union with one another. It's by the gift of being united to Christ that we are able to have union with one another. We are united to Christ. and we need to live like it. We talked about it this morning, and we'll talk about it again. We need to live like we believe what we say we believe. We need to live like we have the gifts that we have been given. We need to become what we are. This is the process of sanctification. This is what it means to become more and more holy. To become more and more like that oil that drips down Aaron's beard and is a blessing, a precious oil. In Colossians 3, we think about our union with Christ. Since you have been raised, then do these things. And that's just Paul's modus operandi. That's the way he operates. He gives indicatives, and then he gives imperatives, and he gives imperatives that rest in indicatives. He gives instruction that are based in the reality of what God has done. God has worked on our behalf, and then we are to respond to that work. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a mysterious thing. And it's something that we often don't appreciate. We need to recognize the blessing of the work that is laid out before us. That we get to participate in this kingdom work. That we get to come along. That we get to be active in our response to God. And in the process of sanctification, it's His work, and yet He gives us work to do. We need to become what we are in Christ. In our union with Christ, we have been given the heavenly perspective, and that means that every believer ought to have the common goal. We ought to all think like those who are seated with Christ. And we ought to all be desiring for Christ to return, that we may be raised up in glory with Him. And in the meantime, we ought to be desiring to put off the sin that entangles. Put off the old man. That's exactly where Colossians 3 flows. It's have that heavenly perspective and then put off the sin. And that's what unites us. Do you come alongside your brothers and sisters, church, in your own need and the needs of others to put off sin? Do you encourage one another? Do you admit your struggles so that we can be praying for one another? That kind of humility unites us to one another because we are united to Christ and then we live like it. And it's good. Disunity comes because we want what we want rather than what God has laid out for us. We are to unite over this heavenly perspective. We are to put off sin. It's a good thing when we dwell in unity. And this unity that we have does not come from ourselves. It comes from above. And it's a precious thing. And it's a thing that is a blessing to those around us. Lastly, we see here the dew of Hermon. We think about Hermon and this imagery of water coming down upon Zion, the holy city of God. And we think about Hermon in this context of God's Word coming upon God's people. And God's Word ought to shape our goals and our desires for what we're striving for. We grow united around that, around God's Word. We have to live in unity. This is what David has laid out for us. We are to pursue it, and we are to praise God when we witness it. Brothers and sisters, do you praise God for how good it is when we dwell in unity? This church, I have been blessed by the unity I've witnessed in this church. We ought to praise God, and we ought to pray regularly that we would be blessed more and more with this unity from above. That we would see past differences of opinion, that we would be forbearing with one another, that we would repent to one another and confess that we would be able to live and dwell in unity with one another. This is our hope. This is the good word that God has for us this evening. Let's pray and ask that He would do that in us. Father in heaven, we thank You that You have united us to Your Son, that You have restored us into relationship with You, that we have been made into the family of God, where You are our Father and we are brothers and sisters in a real and strong way, stronger than blood. We thank You for that gift, Father. Father, we pray that we would praise You for the unity that we have, that we would point it out to one another, that we would say how good it is when we dwell in unity. Father, give us wisdom to pursue that, to be gifted with that heavenly perspective. Help us to put off sin that divides. Help us to be a model to a watching world, that they would see a united church, a church that loves You and is united in a common goal of being Your disciples. Father, forgive us for the disunity that has happened in Your church, the way that we've caused sin to divide. Father, as we live in this church, as we operate in our families and in our work and in our broader callings, help us to seek unity from above. We thank You that You have united us to one another in Christ, and we pray that we would live more and more in a way that evidences that good gift You have given us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.